coming to you from the mountains and the plains. The only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Otto.
Ha! Joe Altman. It's a habit.
It is a habit.
We got to get Josh, your homework over the Thanksgiving weekend is to get us a new intro. We want you to get in a world where one host is at sea level and the other is at elevation. This is the Conservative Daily Pocket. We need a new one. So that's Josh. That's your homework over the weekend, Mr. Producer Josh. Everyone give some love for Josh in the comment section. Works really hard, and he's going to be getting us a new intro over the weekend. So we're going to be doing an update on Trump's lawsuits, what's going on in all the states. Yesterday, we focused on Wisconsin. Today, we're going to be talking about Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and then also the Sidney Powell investigation into Dominion voting systems and electronic voting in general. So that's going to be the agenda for today. So everyone make sure that you hit that share button on Facebook, give us a thumbs up, a like, comment on YouTube. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Very important. Hit that subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications as well. And I want to make sure everyone knows that we do have a link in our description to sign up for our email newsletters. It's very important in case Facebook or YouTube takes us out. If you sign up for our email newsletters, you'll get our daily action alerts, as well as the ability for us to update you if we have to change platforms. So I wanted to make sure that we plug that at the start. Also, text FREEDOM to 89517. You'll receive text alerts when our podcasts go live. They'll start trickling out here over the next couple of minutes. So make sure you do that if you haven't already. So, Joe, why don't we start with the Dominion? Because there was a lot of fake news over the weekend with the mainstream media running with the headline that the Trump campaign was distancing itself from Sidney Powell. You've talked to people, I've talked to people, that's not the case. What they were basically doing is clarifying that Sidney Powell is not employed by Donald Trump. She's still pursuing cases to help Donald Trump. That was just a clarification that she's not officially on the legal team. And Rudy Giuliani has since come out and said that they're basically pursuing two different theories. One, that it was the handling of actual in-person ballots that caused the results to be shifted. And then Sidney Powell is pursuing the Dominion voting systems, the electronic voting. So what have you heard from people that you've talked to? Because there was a lot of fake news being talked about over the weekend about this.
Well, so I don't want to divulge to you what information I have concerning this, but I will tell you that, because I do believe loose lips sink ships, but I think that the fake media is we're seeing the destruction of media as we know it right now. And Sidney Powell is not separated from the legal team from the standpoint of on the same page and looking towards the same outcome. But this does allow her to have the freedom to pursue other things for the American people. She's not limited in scope. She doesn't have to worry about cases getting dismissed with prejudice that could cause those things to not be able to have them be refiled. And frankly, she can actually look deeper into some of the ties that the scope of what President Trump and his legal team are looking into right now.
Yeah. So I believe that
this is very deliberate what they're doing right now.
Yeah. So the media interpreted it as, oh, they're jumping ship. They're kicking her out. When in reality, she's always been separate. She's always been working with them, but not necessarily on the same exact cases. And as you mentioned, that gives her flexibility, gives the Trump administration flexibility. And it also gives them the ability to file similar cases if the other one gets thrown out by an Obama judge. We see this from the left so often. Multiple organizations will file the same kinds of lawsuits in the same district, hoping that at least one of them will get a sympathetic Obama judge or Clinton judge. It's called judge shopping. So keeping her separate, along with attorney Lynn Wood, keeping them separate allows them to pursue their own challenges, gives them the freedom to do so, but also protects them from being basically hamstrung
by activist judicial orders that come down on the Trump administration. Any update on the Dominion stuff? I know that there's some stuff you don't want to reveal yet because you're still ironing it all out. And any update for people on the Dominion stuff?
Y'all, I want to tell people very clearly to just be patient. You know, the media is trying to discourage people that really just want truth, right? And so the investigation's not over. They don't get to decide. They don't get to say, hey, listen, stop fighting, and that we're just supposed to listen to them. That's not what it's about. And so I want to tell you that that big things are about to drop over the next 24, 48 hours. I also want to address something to you. I was on Eric Metaxas's podcast before this one, and we were just talking about, you know, all the things that led up to what's going on with Eric Coomer, and the fact that they've cleaned the internet of his name, and all the things that, frankly, Dominion Voting Systems is doing. And I want to tell you, and unequivocally, if Joe Biden was elected by the people in this country, if that was a better narrative for this country going forward, and you decided, I decided, the people's voice decided that that was the case, none of us would have a problem with it. We wouldn't like it. It's not like we'd say, okay, we wake up tomorrow and, hey, we're headed towards a socialist society. But it just means that we have to regroup, and we have to come back with a different plan on why this is not a good direction for the American people, and we have to start fighting the day after the election. But that's not what happened here. Everybody says, well, Joe, you're a Trump supporter. I am. I support my president 100%. I support what he's been able to do in our country. I support what he's been done in order to create a sense of security and helping us as a society just be better stewards in our own communities, as well as how we interact with other countries around the world. But that is not a blind, you know, I have to, you know, do everything just to support President Trump. And I find myself, frankly, in the middle of something that, you know, any American, I think, would do, but is not something that I really want to do. It's not like I woke up one day and said, I want to come after Eric Coomer. I want to be the one to talk about the fact that he's Antifa. I want to talk about things he's done. So I'm in a very unfortunate situation, which frankly has not been the most comfortable thing for me or my family. But it has nothing to do with that. This part has nothing to do with being a supporter of President Trump. It has everything to do with the constitutional integrity of our country.
Yeah, and that's something that the left loves to say, like, oh, it's a Trump cult. You're just saying that because you're addicted to Trump or you're a cultist. That's not the case at all. I've disagreed with Trump on many things, number of which gun control. I think that's going to go down in history as one of his biggest failures, not making enough progress on gun control, even if he gets another 4 years. So we're not Trump cultists by any means, but when you see what's going on at the election, you see what's happening in these states. Yes, if Joe Biden won legitimately, then he's president, but the American people deserve better than a president with an asterisk, like with baseball, with Major League Baseball, all the hitters who allegedly use steroids, they all have asterisks next to their names for all the records. The American people deserve better than having the 46th president have an asterisk next to his name because the election is disputed and there's enough allegations of fraud and irregularities to throw it into doubt. I do have a video that's resurfaced recently. It's of Eric Coomer talking, giving a presentation. He went around the country and he gave these presentations to local and state governments, basically pitching Dominion voting systems. And here is a video of him showing them how the software can edit votes. Let's go ahead and watch cut five.
Handle everything currently digitally. This is our digital adjudication system. If you have multiple ICCs, ImageCast Central is running, they all write the data to a network drop location, and you can have multiple adjudication stations for multiple teams to handle the outstack ballots. This is a typical voter intent issue where they didn't fill out the ovals completely, they just made little tick marks. It's what's called an ambiguous mark. And what we're saying is, we're not sure what the voter intent is, but we're going to allow the adjudicators to make that call based on any kind of state statutes. So right on the screen, I can go ahead and say, you know what? The voter meant to mark these. They wanted those votes to count for those candidates. I can do the back page. I'm not going to fill all of them in here. And then I hit complete. It's going to go on to the next ballot. And this is another classic one where the voter has circled the names instead of filling in the ovals. Any ballot that needs to be looked at will show up automatically on the screen. Some key things here. This is a great tool for doing things like audits and recounts. Okay, so things like 5% recounts these days. We have an entire additional system that works very similar to the adjudication product, but it's for reviewing ballots. So you can select whether you want to filter by precinct, a random selection of precincts, or just a random sampling of ballots across the whole election to actually audit. We're doing that to support things. The buzzword in the industry these days are risk limiting audits. It's a statistical way of auditing election results. And we can support that through this system as well.
All right, so that was an important thing. What he's talking about is the idea of fixing ballots. So he mentions in there voter intent. And if you think back to the year 2000, what they saw in Florida, the idea of the butterfly ballots, right? The idea that Florida had a system where you had to punch a hole in the ballot and the hanging chads, if they didn't punch the hole all the way through, then there was the argument, well, did they intend to punch the hole all the way through? Is that what the voter intended? And that's how you have all those pictures of the auditors basically using a magnifying glass and studying the ballot to see which one was pushed through more than the other. That system's kind of been gone away with, and now you have filling in the ovals. So what he's describing is a way of taking a ballot that doesn't necessarily have the oval filled in the right way and filling it in the right way for them. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is a video, I just quickly grabbed it, that we shared a while ago. This was in Pennsylvania, of a woman filling in blank ballots. So we're told that what we saw here was curing those ballots, fixing the problems. Someone apparently didn't fill in the circle, they just did an X. And then these people are in charge of making sure that you fill in all the circles for them. So that's what the official story is. I see that woman filling in a lot of circles. we go ahead and take that off the screen now. So that's one way to fix irregularities in the ballot where you can't really necessarily tell voter intent. But what Eric Coomer in that situation is talking about is the software being able to do it for you. So instead of a person having to go through and mark the correct circle or fill in the circle, the software is able to change the vote, fill out the vote for the voter. That's incredibly dangerous because even if that's supposed to only be used in a certain way, Joe, even if it's only supposed to be used by auditors or by people who are going to make that final decision, the fact that it's in the software suite and the fact that we know that these machines have the ability to connect to the internet is a huge problem. Because when you look at Milwaukee, where we know that the flash drive was left in the machine for 10, 20 minutes, it is not outside the realm of possibility for someone to have hacked into that machine, used this kind of software to change votes. That's what we're talking about here. We don't have the proof of that, but it is possible. Anyone who tells you that it isn't possible is lying to you. What do you think? Did you see this video yet, Joe? What do you think of it? Oh, Joe's muted. Oh, we lost Joe.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Technology. That's what happens with technology.
Technology. So just so you guys know, I am actually up pheasant hunting, getting away with the family for the week for a lot of reasons. So I'm wearing my hunting hat and my hunting garb. So I'm going to go shoot some pheasants after this podcast.
But he's going to try to shoot pheasants. He'll shoot in their general direction. Whether or not anything gets hit, that's not necessarily up to him.
I'm definitely going to shoot pheasants. I got limit yesterday. I'm going to get a limit today too.
We'll see.
So what do you think of that video? What do you think of that video with Eric Coomer saying that the software actually enables them? It's not a bug. It's a feature. It gives them the ability to add votes to ballots that do not have otherwise legally cast votes for candidates. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's a real thing, right? I mean, he's actually describing what the software is capable of doing, unlike what Michael Steele said, which is our software didn't even have that capability. Michael Steele gets on Fox News and says, hey, this is impossible, when, you know, Eric Coomer has another video that says that it's very possible. And it doesn't show the restraints of the system either. So it doesn't tell you that they can only pick the one that it looks like their intent is. It says they can pick anyone that they want
pick
on
anything.
Those ballots.
Yeah.
Right.
It's an honor system.
So another thing about, an honor system and voting. I just wanted to tell you how silly it is to leave somebody's vote in the hands of one individual, regardless of whether they lean left or lean right or had an ideology that aligned with President Trump or one that aligns with Joe Biden. I think that we have to be more deliberate in how we handle our elections. We are looking at a third world country election system right now with all of this quote unquote technology. But the issue that I have is that there are so many irregularities, there are so many problems that have existed, and I don't want to say it's just the software either. I think there's a concerted effort of bad actors inside of each environment and the use of the software in order to weaponize the election against the American voice, right? It's impossible. So while the mainstream media is saying that there is absolutely no way that there was fraud and mass amounts of fraud, that you can ignore the fact that there's mass amounts of fraud, massive amounts of fraud. And it's not small amounts, it's huge amounts. As you see some of these different states actually rush to certify the election results and ignore those facts. It just makes you wonder, Max, and I wonder, why? Why are we dealing with this? Why is Eric Coomer, why is the mainstream media, I know that they've actually seen the videos. I know that they've actually looked into the information that I provided specifically about Eric Coomer. Why is the mainstream media running away from it? Why is Twitter running away from it? Why are they blocking my account and making up an absolutely patently false reason? Yeah. So we are in the midst of the belly. We are over the target, and make no mistake, we are going to win. Right. And that's, I believe that God is in control, and I'm going to tell everyone that's listening, look, you cannot at any point decide that, hey, it's just not worth fighting, I'm tired. You can't get tired. Yeah. President Trump has been tired for the last 4 years. Many other people that have fought for this country and died for this country do not deserve to see it fall because we get tired. And I guess that's my biggest message to everyone, is that we have to come out and we have to continue to fight, and we have to continue to say no retreat, no surrender. And it doesn't mean no retreat, no surrender, let's take the country by coup. That's not what's happening. The opposite is true. We're just trying to look for the barometer of truth, the true north on what direction the country, the people in this country have chosen.
So let's expand on what Eric Coomer said. Eric Coomer said that if a ballot goes into the machine and it isn't cast the correct way, or they didn't fill out the oval the right way, someone can go in there either in person or theoretically remotely. They can go in and they can change a ballot. That software, that feature exists in the software suite. The protection against that.
Grab my glasses. I can't see your face.
Okay. The protection against that would be the fact that ballots were still possessed, right? So if the software changes votes, the way to protect against that would be to go back and audit the ballots. All right, he's back. He's got his glasses. Here's the problem. When you go to somewhere like Detroit, Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is from 4 years ago. This is from 2016. Too many votes in 37% of Detroit's precincts. So this is 2016. The 2016 election found that in 37% of Detroit's precincts, there were more votes than voters. And that's not registered voters. That's more votes than voters who had been signed in. They did such a bad job of keeping records of who was voting that they couldn't reconcile the numbers between the number of votes cast, the number of voters who showed up or mailed in their ballots. We go to this year. This is from earlier this year. 72% of Detroit's absentee precincts have inaccurate counts. That's from early in the year. That's from the primary. We're told now in the general election, it's between 70 and 72, depending on how you count. It's about the same number. And what that means is that if you went in and did a recount of Wayne County in Michigan, you would not be able to do the recount because they didn't keep a good enough record. You cannot link the ballots to the voters. You have to throw them out. So the real risk there is if you're using a system like Dominion, that we know the system can change the votes, you don't necessarily have the fail-safe of being able to go back and check the ballots, because by the Democrats' own admission, they mishandled the ballots so improperly that they wouldn't survive a recount. They can't actually prove that they exist. So yesterday on the show, we talked about, and we briefly cut in to the Michigan State Board of Canvassers. Unfortunately, last night, as we predicted, the one Republican caved. He voted with Democrats to certify the results, even though he knew that they were fraudulent, or he knew that there was enough there to question whether or not they were legitimate. So I want to play a brief clip just so you can see this is how the vote went down. Let's go ahead and play cut one.
Further discussion on the motion from the board members. Melissa, will you please take a roll call vote? Chair Bradshaw? Yes. Vice Chair Van Langveld?
Yes.
Ms. Matuszak?
Yes.
Mr. Schenkel?
I'm staying.
Madam Chair, you have 3 aye votes.
One abstention.
The motion does move.
So that was the moment from yesterday. You had 3 aye votes, and the one Republican who said he was going to vote against instead chose to abstain. Too afraid to actually vote no, he abstained. So it was certified by a vote of 3-0. The history books will not even show that it was not unanimous because he abstained. I want to play this clip because this is the guy Langveld, however you pronounce his name, Republican on the board, who surrendered. And the reason he surrendered is because he didn't think he had the power to step in and stop it. Let's play cut two.
I will make a statement if that's okay. I want to be clear about one thing. I think any allegation of voter fraud should be taken seriously and investigated. I believe in this case, a post-election audit should be conducted. And I believe complaints of election fraud need to be investigated, and if found, must be prosecuted under the law. The state law is clear that we do not have that authority, and other entities do. And I encourage those state officials to act and do what they can to preserve election integrity. But this board must respect the authority entrusted to it and follow the law as written. We must not attempt to exercise power we simply don't have. In this case, the law is absolutely clear. We have a clear legal duty to certify the results of the election as shown by the returns that were given to us. We cannot and should not go beyond that. As John Adams once said, we are government of laws, not men. And this board needs to adhere to that principle here today. This board must do its part to uphold the rule of law and comply with our legal duty to certify this election. I will be supporting the motion.
So that was him giving his reasoning for why he felt the need to certify it, even though we know in Wayne County, the two Republicans who allegedly certified it didn't actually sign wet ink to sign it. It was stamped. And they later rescinded it and said they were forced to do it under duress. So the whole notion that he has no option but to certify is illegitimate. It's not real, right? It's not true. And Joe, whoever's walking around, if you can get them to stop, there's a lot of creaking on your end. It's kind of rhythmic every 60 seconds. So he's lying when he says that he has
just
no.
So you know, it couldn't have been me because I actually had my mute button on.
Oh, it's you. I promise you, it's you. It definitely is. So he's lying when he says that he doesn't have the power to step in. What he's claiming is that they have no choice but to certify it. So then what's the point of the board? If they're saying they have no choice but to certify it, why even have a vote, right? If they are mandated by law to certify, then why even have the option for a no vote? He's arguing, there it is again, he's arguing that there is no right to vote no, and that he has no choice but to vote no. And it's a very cowardly, he's bringing up John Adams. It just isn't true. It isn't true. It's cowardice, right? He is a coward. He should have voted no, like he did originally, just like we saw in Wayne County, but instead he voted for it. And they certified the results, even though if an audit or recount was held today, Joe Biden would not win because the fraud was so significant in Wayne County that the votes would not survive an audit. Like, that's what we're talking about. The votes would not survive an audit. If you did a recount, Joe Biden would lose thousands and thousands of votes simply because how they were handled. It's absolutely stunning. What do you think of it, Joe?
I think that there's an exercise of courage that has to be had, right, in these different positions within our government, and that the people that need to run for office, like you and I and other people, not me, but others that run for office, need to recognize their duty to their community to make sure that if there's fraud there and they feel like there's fraud, not to actually certify the vote. I don't know why this is so difficult. I don't know why this is so controversial. I don't know how he can make a statement passing the buck on, asking someone else to look into the fraud. You're certifying the election. You're certifying the vote and saying this is accurate. If it's not accurate and you don't think it's accurate, then say I don't think it's accurate and vote against it. But I want to put something up. This is why what you're about to see is why they voted for it, to certify it. Go ahead and put it up, Josh. It is this type of things that are said. Attention, real Donald Trump. And this is from Adam Rahuba. This is an Antifa leader. They should go and arrest him tomorrow. They should arrest this guy. He says, if you do not concede by Sunday at noon, we will begin to block roads in conservative areas. Your supporters will not be able to go to work or the grocery store to feed their families. We are armed and will retaliate to attempts at vehicular manslaughter. You know what they're actually saying? They're saying that we can do whatever we want. And by the way, we've emboldened these creeps, these pieces of garbage in Antifa that want to steal our very way of life. We've emboldened them by letting them do the things that they've done in places like Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Chicago. We've let this happen, right? We should never let this type of unrest and this type of mayhem against the people of this country, the hardworking people of this country, continue. But that is why he actually voted for it. He kicked the can down the road because he felt that if he didn't kick the can down the road, he would become a target, right? Well, I got to tell you something. I'm a target. I'm a big target. I'm a big target. I still stood up. It didn't matter to me why, you know, what they said or did. I wanted to protect the constitutional integrity of our country. That's it. End stop.
Yeah.
And by these leaders actually doing what they're doing, they're basically saying that, listen, I don't have enough courage to represent the people of my community. Then get out. Get out. Go find someone else to fill that position. But you have an obligation to your community to actually stand up for their voice. And when someone else comes in and decides to basically take their voice and throw it out the window and put a new voice in place, that's not a constitutional republic. That is a communist society. Not socialist, communist.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So let's play a little bit. We cut in yesterday and played a little bit of the audio from Laura Cox, the head of the GOP in Michigan. Let's go ahead and listen to this. Let's play cut four.
We have had the same issues. We certify and then forget until the next election. If folks are proud of a 71% out of balance count in our largest community in the state, then we have very different ideas.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about. A 75% out of balance count, meaning that in 75% of precincts, the count is so out of balance, it would not survive a recount. It really is stunning, but they certified it. They bowed to the will. They bowed to the will of the leftists threatening them, accusing them of committing felonies. Like, there are people actually putting op-eds out yesterday saying that if they voted no, it would be a felony. Like, it's not legal to vote no. You must certify. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Well, I want to take this moment real quick to, again, remind everyone that our sponsor today is the hit the share button, but our sponsor today is the Conservative Daily Store. We have a picture of our Christmas t-shirt, Come and Take It Christmas, modeled after the Come and Take It flag that was flown by Texas revolutionaries. So make sure you check out the link in our description, pick it up. And the left, Anthony Fauci, the health officials, are trying to cancel Christmas just like they're trying to cancel Thanksgiving. So make sure that you pick up one of these t-shirts, help support the channel, and give a big middle finger to the people trying to cancel Christmas. So we have some more stuff to go through. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a stunning ruling yesterday. Let's put up image one. This came out just yesterday. The Supreme Court ruled that mail-in and absentee ballots without a date or without a handwritten name or address can be counted. They voted 7-0 to basically violate state law and allow ballots that are not fully filled out to be counted. There was another 4-3 ruling on whether the date even had to be, with one judge saying he'll do it, but only this time. This is crazy. This is right. Pennsylvania law says that you must date your ballot. It says that you must write your name. You must write your address, and the date portion of that, the Democrats won 4-3. And one of the judges said, I will do it, but only this time. That's not how justice is supposed to work. Justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be blind to the circumstance, to the parties in front of it. Either state law says that a ballot has to have a date or it doesn't. In this case, Pennsylvania state law says it must have a date on it. It must have a handwritten name, a handwritten address. And it makes you wonder, go to my screen real quick, Mr. Producer. This is the latest info. Actually, it's a couple days out of date, but they aren't really counting a whole lot now. This is info from Pennsylvania, and it shows mail ballots returned by party registration. And you see Democrats returned 1.7 million ballots out of the 1.9 million ballots that were requested. Republicans returned 620,000 out of the 780,000 that were requested. This is the part I want to show, though. This is mail ballot rejection rates. So let's sort it by total ballots returned. So in Philadelphia, there were 371,719 mail-in ballots that were returned. Of those, only 233 were rejected, a rejection rate of 0.1%. In Allegheny County, which is in western PA near Pittsburgh, 350,000 were returned. Only 65 were rejected, a rejection rate, if you round, of 0.0%. So when you look at Pennsylvania and you look at what that Supreme Court ruling says, you can see how they stole it. They stole it by not throwing out any ballots. And no one wants someone's vote to be thrown out. If you vote, it should be counted, but you have to do it right. You have to fill out your ballot the right way as prescribed by state law. And if you don't, that ballot's supposed to be spoiled. It was expected that we would see between 3% and 4% ballot spoilage in Pennsylvania. But what you're seeing is in Philadelphia, it was 0.1%. They gave everyone the benefit of the doubt. And the Supreme Court came in and said, nope, they're allowed to do it.
We're not going to win this at any of the state courts. We're going to win this on the federal courts. We're going to win this by taking it through and adhering to the constitutional arguments of what we're dealing with right now. See, Benford law does matter. The other analyses that they have done, mathematical analyses that actually prove that the percentages are literally 25%, 50%, they're steady throughout the entire thing that show manipulation. Those will stay.
Well, Benford's law is the idea that they had a spreadsheet and they made the numbers up, right? That's what Benford's law says, that when you make numbers up and you basically cook the books, no one will do it properly because they don't understand how the numbers should be distributed. So Benford's law doesn't necessarily mention whether or not the ballots are spoiled or not. It talks about people going in and cooking the books. With this,
you can't ignore math and science. You can't. You cannot ignore math and science. I mean, so I in doing the Benford law or looking at Benford law, that'll talk about the anomalies that occurred in different precincts. If you build an ARIMA analysis, which is typically analysis that is used in financial modeling, you can actually start cutting up the data and then taking out data or cutting off data sets to look what the probable future would look like, right? And that shows massive amounts of fraud. If you look at what Dr. Shiva did and looking at the different irregularities of Republican groupings and the fact that they actually use weighted balance so they could actually take votes from Biden and push them over to Trump, any number of analysis always comes back with the same outcome, and that is that the input variable and the output variable were manipulated in massive amounts, not just small amounts, but in massive amounts.
Yeah. So we have a caller on the line. We have Dave, who wants to ask why the Republicans aren't being aggressive enough. Dave, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. I called you guys back a while ago. It was Dave in South Carolina. in
South Carolina?
I am, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that time it was about the laptop back then, but it apparently not about that anymore.
Well, no, they actually just did a new dump. They did a new dump. We'll probably talk about it later in the week. They had a new dump from the laptop. But go ahead, ask your question.
Well, I love what you guys are doing, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing. It's awesome. I know you're actually literally taking your life in your own hands by doing what you're doing. So just know that we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The thing that
Joe's doing most of that, but yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. But it's awesome. But the thing I don't understand is, like, let's just, if we go all the way back to election night in Philly when they were not letting our people in, why are our people not busting down the door and getting in there and standing where they're supposed to stand and make people physically remove them or make the police come? We're not being aggressive enough.
Yeah, Joe, you want to take that one?
You know, I think it's just we just don't have a lot of people that are willing to stand up and take a firm position one way or another on making sure that we enforce the rule of law. I mean, we just don't. We have people that are literally wishy-washy that want to, you know, play politics in the middle of our community. And I don't know how to stop that from happening. I mean, I'm sitting here in the middle of something I don't want to be involved with. Dale, I got to tell you, I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to have to go through what I'm going through. I don't want to have to be 500 miles from my home and have armed guards in front of my house and feel like, you know, I have to protect my family. I don't want it, but I'm doing it because I have an obligation. I have a responsibility to you and other people like you to make sure that if I have something to say something. And I just don't believe that we've actually instilled courage in our generations that have followed, you know, what we dealt with in the World War I and World War II. I mean, they stormed the beaches of Normandy, 18-year-olds did, right? Knowing that they would face certain death. And yet today, we're afraid of a bunch of Antifa standing in the middle of the road, and we're not willing to stand up to them. We're willing to let them actually have to create this tyranny across our society. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly, you know, why they're doing it. I do know that, you know, we're facing massive closures for restaurants and small businesses in Colorado. And so I've been having conversations with even town council members and commissioners, and they won't stand up either. And they're like, Joe, you don't understand. And it all comes back to, David, all comes back to one thing, money. All comes back to money. They all say that we'll be pushed out and not given this relief, this CARES relief package from the government. And I keep telling them, look, the people in the community
don't care about your CARES relief. That's for that, but for the election, it isn't about money. It really is about in a lot of ways, it's about cowardice. Now, listen, there were a lot of Republicans in places like Philly who were getting loud, getting boisterous. There were ones in Michigan, in Wayne County, Michigan, who were getting loud and boisterous, and they got kicked out. Those are the videos of them being dragged out by police. So on the one hand, yes, I agree. When you saw the pictures of Philadelphia precincts where they put the posters on the outside of the building telling people you must vote for Biden. If I was there, I would have ripped that off the damn building, right? The idea that they took a picture and then walked away, that's insane, right? So that is also an element of cowardice. And maybe at the same time, if I was in an inner city area, maybe I would think twice about doing it. I don't know, but there is cowardice to it. But when it comes to seeing, like when you're a challenger in the count, when you see people getting dragged out by police for simply asking a question, then it becomes a lot harder to stand up because you know what the outcome will be. When they're willing to drag you out because you're challenging ballots legally, yes, they will also drag you out if you are causing a scene, if you're doing anything to disrupt the count. So I think it's a twofer. I think there is an element of cowardice to it, but there's also the realization that if Democrats are willing to drag people out of here just for looking at them with a dirty look, then they'll also do it the minute they pipe up about anything.
Well, I don't know how many other people there are out there like me, but I think there's a lot of us that are working. You know, we're trying to pay our mortgage, pay our bills, and we don't have time to go out and, you know, go to some of these events and stuff. But at some point, I mean, we're all getting pissed off, and it's going to happen. We're going to go somewhere and make a stand. And it's just, I think they don't realize that a lot of us, you know, we're very close to our grandparents, which, you know, fought in World War II. And this is really pissing us off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I don't think, I don't even think it's a matter of pissing us off. We have an obligation for all the sacrifice that's been made for generations before us to bring the country to a place where it is today, not to let some sniveling little socialist and careful communist take that from us. I was keeping it. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that if not you, Dave, who? If not now, when? I say the same thing about myself. I say the same thing about my neighbor. I say the same thing about the position that we're in as a country in order to protect the sovereignty of our nation. We are being attacked from the inside. We are being attacked by people who literally we're allowing big money to come in from outside. We're allowing Soros to build organizations and to create indoctrination in our schools and in our communities, right? I mean, this is all an attack, and we either stand up. We either stand up now or lose it all. But today is the decision to be made, right? If we don't make the decision today, then it's just not worth fighting. Let's just all just hang it up, go to a socialist society, and get rid of opportunity for the next, 20 generations. Generations will never know. And on top of that, not just giving away those generations, but let's also just step on the history of those people that have sacrificed their lives to protect our nation. Because that's what we're
Dave,
doing. If we allow
Dave,
it to
final thought. Final thought before we let you go.
Yep. Final thought is there any way we can be one of the poll watchers and go to Georgia and watch a Senate race?
Not if you're. I don't think you can if you're not a Georgian. We'll look that up, and we'll see, and we'll talk about that maybe later on the show. But I think you have to be from Georgia to challenge Georgia elections, unless you're connected to like a legal group. Right. If you're in the ACLU and they're sending lawyers, I think you can get an exemption there. If you're part of the campaign, you don't necessarily have to be local. But I think just saying I want to challenge it, I think you're going to have a hard time unless you have a connection to some other group. Well, thank you so much for the call, Dave. Really do appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
So we saw what the Supreme Court said in Pennsylvania, that even though state law requires this, they're going to let those ballots stand anyway. The Trump campaign has to appeal that ruling, absolutely. And what we saw, let's put up image three. Image three, this was from yesterday. This was the Third Circuit Court of Appeals declared that they were going to expedite Trump's appeal challenging the constitutionality of the way Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh were counting their votes. The Equal Protection Clause argument that Democrat counties were given one standard, Republican counties were given a different one. So that lawsuit, a lawsuit to block the state from certifying its election, was appealed, and the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, one step below the Supreme Court, agreed to hear that appeal. And the deadline is an hour and 15 minutes from now. That's the deadline for the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and the Donald Trump for President campaign to submit their briefs. But the amazing part is that even though there's now an active appeal, even though the Obama judge's ruling saying, tossing it out that we all talked about, even though that's now being appealed, Pennsylvania doesn't seem to care. Let's put up image two. This is today. Pennsylvania certifies Biden win, dimming Trump hopes of overturning election results. So you have an active appeal of Donald Trump appealing a ruling with the goal of it being to stop certification. And while that appeal has been accepted, and just a couple hours before the state is due to give its brief on why they shouldn't be blocked, they went ahead and certified the win anyway. It's absolutely disgusting. If you did this in a civil case, you'd be thrown out of court. You'd absolutely be thrown out of court. If you were, let's say, Joe, you were in court, they wanted you to produce some evidence, right? And it's a little bit different, but let's say while that appeal is going on, you destroy the evidence, right? Or if they're saying you're not allowed to, let's say it's a dispute between family members, a loved one dies and you want to sell off property and they say, no, we have a right to that inheritance too. And you win the first ruling and then it gets appealed up. And while that appeal is going on, you sell the property anyway. You would be in big, big trouble for selling it during an appeal, right? There's supposed to be a stay. You're not supposed to do it while there's an appeal. The amazing thing is, in this case, this is the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania doesn't seem to care. Doesn't seem to care that the Third Circuit is going to hear or at least read the briefs today. They went ahead and certified it for Biden anyway. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, it just shows you that there's a concerted effort. Again, this is not something that just a couple hundred people. This is what Joe Biden said. This is the largest voter fraud operation in the country's history. That's what this is. There is an organization. He said that quiet part out loud. It's a it's an effort just to destroy the American voice. Look, we are headed down a path of people just creating this propaganda. You have Barack Obama saying that Trump questioning this actually destroys our democracy. We're not a democracy. We've never been a democracy. So why do we keep listening to these guys run off at the mouth and talk about a democracy? Democracy is mob rule. So in essence, Trump is actually destroying mob rule. You're absolutely right. That's what he's doing. And that's what he should be doing. But because we don't teach civics in school anymore, people don't understand that they're like, oh, they're destroying the democracy. No, that's not what he's doing. He's preserving the constitutional republic. He's preserving our very way of life, right? He's making it impossible for them to cheat. And I got to tell you something, Max. I still believe God is at the wheel. I still believe that President Trump is going to have another 4 years. And I mean, look, I don't know what to say otherwise, but I find it very difficult to believe that our Supreme Court would let what has happened happen. I have a hard time believing it.
Well, we do have a caller. So we have Zach who wants to chime in. I'll remind everyone else while we're bringing him on, make sure you hit that share button. Make sure you like the video on Facebook. Make sure you comment on YouTube. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. So we have Zach on the line. Zach, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What do you want to talk about?
So I wanted to thank Joe for what he's doing, because there are very few people in the United States that have the resources to actually fight. I mean, when you look at those Republicans that are caving when they're putting their kids' information and where they go to school out online, I mean, it's scary. It's very scary stuff to try and fight this big swamp creature that we built in government. And the Republicans are kind of joining on board. So thank you, Joe and Max. Joe especially, because he's out camping in the middle of nowhere. But the second question I had, sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it. I was just chuckling. Go for it.
The second question I had was, have you guys at all talked with the Trump legal team on the election night where votes were going up and down? I remember talking about this in the last phone call I had, where it was reporting at like 87 and then dropped down to 86 and it kept going up and down. But that was happening the whole voting night. So has anyone started looking into that yet? Because I think that's where Benford's law kind of comes into play.
Joe, you want to take
it? So I've had several conversations with the Trump teams. Here's the one thing you guys need to understand. There's 500 attorneys fighting around the nation for the Trump administration. So this is a very large, disjointed effort by lots of different legal teams. I'm having conversations with multiples of those legal teams, as close to kind of the core as possible. But I want you to know I've got an opportunity today to hear some of the other evidence that they have, and it's damning. Like I don't know how Joe Biden becomes president, given the information that I had the opportunity of hearing today. So I do think that it's a problem what happened on election night. But the other side is that some of those systems are not tied directly to the voting counting or voting counters. And so that's less of an issue than the actual counters that show the big spike of 150, 200,000 votes that happened in the middle of the night on election night.
That's interesting. Yeah. I was watching Trump's votes go down as it was happening. Like you'd watch where it just take 20,000 off Republicans all of a sudden, and they'd be like, oh, it was an error. It was an error. And it's like, how many of these errors are we going to have in one night with this system? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is crazy.
I think that they knew going into this that they were going to have to cheat big, right? They knew it. They had 5 or 6 months where You know, there was absolutely zero people that were engaging. Most of the government structures were away from their offices. They had lots of opportunities to program computers, do updates. You heard Eric Coomer talk about the fact that it's connected to a network. All of those things are problematic for Dominion voting systems. And then you just leap on, or you kind of pile on top of that the fact that Eric Coomer is an Antifa individual. And if you know anything about the Antifa, just their mantra or their ethos, they are anti-American to the core. They do not believe that what we have as a nation should continue. And so here you have a guy that has that information. Over here you have massive irregularities and people, 75% more people voting than are even in a district or a precinct. And I don't know how you ignore that given the massive amount of the veil that hangs over Dominion voting systems, Smartmatic, and others that have worked together to not just here, but in other countries. I mean, look, we talk enough
it's
about
funny that you say
what
that.
Happened. In... Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Zach. Virginia.
It's funny that you say that because I was just watching yesterday. I saw a little news outlet because local news is the only real way to get news anymore. The big corporate media is just, it's too much for me to handle nowadays. But they were reporting that the Dominion in Toronto, their headquarters in Toronto, was actually in the same building as a bunch of Soros, basically corporate organizations that Soros and the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and all the big old money is all behind. So it's very interesting watching how it all intersects with one another. And then you look at Venezuela and Puerto Rico,
Mongolia,
and it's
Mongolia.
It's all over.
I mean, who would have thought?
I mean, anywhere that they started changing things.
So they were in Mongolia in 2012. Guess who actually sold Mongolia the system in 2012 from Dominion Voting Systems? Guess what his name is? I'll give you two guesses, and the first two don't count. Eric Coomer. I have pictures of him with government officials showing him the voting system, the tabulation machines. There's an article that came out in 2012 and count because they didn't believe that the vote ended up the way that it did, and it proved out to be the opposite of what you actually saw through the tabulation machine.
We're losing Joe.
Making over all right, this is not a new phenomenon. Back in.
Sorry, we were losing you for a second. Yeah, we were losing you. Well, thank you so much, Zach. We got to let you go because we're coming up towards the end of the show. But thank you for the call. Really, really do appreciate it. A couple things I want to get through before we end. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up image 4. This was a tweet from Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood represented the Covington Catholic kid as he was fighting that defamation lawsuit, and he helped win for him. Lynn Wood tweeted this out last night, quote, "Would someone ask my never-to-be-friend Brad Raffensperger, Georgia Secretary of State, if he has seen this tape of election fraud at State Farm Arena in Fulton County, Georgia? Several people have seen it. Many more will see it soon. Video camera eye does not lie. How do you spell election fraud?" And then he included the filed notice of subpoena and the actual exhibit that the subpoena is demanding, and that is for the State Farm Arena in Fulton County, Georgia. So he contends that people have watched video footage of fraud. They've come to him. He is now getting a subpoena for that and will not only use that in his court filings, but also hopefully give it to the public as well so we can see what's going on. And the big thing that they seem to want to prove is that there never was a water main break. There never was a pipe burst that forced them to stop counting, that it was a deliberate effort to stop counting to figure out how many. Well, that's the allegation. Figure out how many ballots they needed to basically create out of thin air. So let's put up this image 5. Georgia Secretary of State, the same person, Raffensperger, said that even though they're going to do an audit of the election, that it's not going to be possible for the third count of votes to have signature matching. What's that? That's trying to match the signature from the envelope to the actual signature that someone gave when they registered to vote, as opposed to the signature on the envelope matching the signature from when they requested a mail-in ballot. There was a lot of funny business where instead of going back to their voter registration signature, they were comparing the signature of the ballot to the signature from when they requested a ballot, which if someone requested a ballot on behalf of someone illegally, yes, the signatures will match because they're both fraudulent signatures. But now the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is saying that it's not possible because the state election rules are designed to protect voter privacy. And after initial verification, ballots in the state are separated from the envelopes and they're lost, and there's no way to redo it. So we can go ahead and take that off the screen. Just think it's very interesting that now as we're getting into this, they're saying, oh no, well, it's not possible. We can't verify those images. And I want to put this up. This is from the New York Times just a couple of days ago reporting, image six, a couple of days ago reporting that of the first 60,000 ballots that were processed in Fulton County, Georgia, only 278 of them were spoiled. Think about that. Out of 60,000, only 278 ballots were rejected. In Minneapolis and Hennepin County, 2,080 ballots were rejected out of 325,000. And everyone that was rejected got a replacement ballot sent to them. Oh, you made a mistake. Here you go. In Burlington, Iowa, 28 out of 12,310 were rejected. And in Kentucky, 1,300 rejects out of 474,000 ballots. And that is compared to the 15,000 that were rejected in the state presidential primary back in June. It's stunning stuff. There's multiple ways they did it. There's obviously the tech aspect of it, right? There's obviously the mishandling of the ballots, but they also let ballots come through that never should have come through at all. And now we're hearing in Georgia, just like we're hearing in Philadelphia, because oops, they started destroying the ballots. We're hearing in both those states that even if you went back and did an audit, they covered their trails and they destroyed the evidence. So you can't actually see what the signature on the ballot envelope looked like because it's gone. It's just, it really is incredible. Joe, I'll give you the final word as we wrap up today's episode.
The fight's not over. I mean, I really would just want to encourage everyone to continue to pray, right? So we can't ask God to do something in this if you don't invite him to the party. I also want to let you know that we have to stand up collectively. We have to be willing to sacrifice something, do something, say something. We are dealing in unprecedented time right now. Right, having courage is not just relegated to one person standing on a hill where we watch him and say, that's a brave patriot you have right there. You can't do that. You've got to be willing to stand up. Every last one of you. Get together. Grab your neighbors. Don't let them shut down our society. Don't let them shut down our community. Encourage businesses to stay open. Tell them that, hey, listen, we're not afraid. This is not you get to bark orders at us. This is of the people, for the people, by the people. Right. If we don't stand up now, we have no country to stand up for very shortly. And I'll even push that to on January 20th, because January 20th will spell the death of our society, the death of our country, if you do not stand up and encourage others to do the same.
Well, a great final word. That's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Remember that you can sign up for our email newsletters, link in the description. Also, you can text FREEDOM to 89517. To receive text alerts when we go live, because Facebook and YouTube doesn't always like to send out those alerts. Make sure, as we said in the middle of the show, check out our Christmas Come and Take It t-shirts. Too late to get the Thanksgiving ones to you, but you can check that one out too if you want. People eat turkey around Christmas too, but that's our Come and Take It Christmas, modeled after the Texas Come and Take It battle flag. So make sure you pick one of those up, help support the channel, and give a big middle finger to the health officials and the leftists trying to cancel Christmas. We are on Parler at Conservative Daily. I'm at Max McGuire. Joe is at Joe Altman. Follow us both there on Parler. And really important, make sure that you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast. Very important to do it on Apple Podcasts. That's where the rankings come from. But if you don't have an iPhone, link in the description to also subscribe on Google Play Store. If you have an Android, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. And again, make sure that you like and follow our Facebook page. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. Our podcast goes live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll have a show on Thursday. It'll probably be pre-recorded, but we will have a show on Thursday. So make sure you subscribe on Facebook and YouTube to watch those live video feeds. I think that's it for what I have to talk about. Again, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Otto. Ha, just kidding. Joe Altman. See, I still can't remember.
Yeah. I'm just going to stop. If you can't get it right, I'm just going to stop even giving you the option.
Hey, look, I've been saying Joe Otto for a long time. So
I know.
And frankly, I'm sitting in the middle of nowhere, as Zach alluded to. I did take my family and get out of town for a little bit. So the pressure is definitely on me in a lot of different ways. So as you pray for our country, as you pray for our president, I wouldn't mind a couple prayers being thrown my way as well. It's been a little bit debilitating, but not something that I'm not willing to do. I'm definitely willing to stand up for you and stand up for our country.
And we're going to also pray that tomorrow, whoever is opening that creaky door in your RV doesn't do it anymore. Or at very
There's
least,
there's no creaky door.
Maybe I'm the only one in the place. Maybe you oil the hinges a little bit. That's what we'll also pray for.
Nobody else can hear it. It's in your head.
We'll see. That's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire. He's Joe Altman. Remember that the fight to take back our country clearly isn't over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.